three years ago, I guess, we were looking for our home church. And we had attended several churches in this community as I was principal in different schools and coach and administrator and all those things. And two people invited us to come here. Bill Bradley, for years, and I talked with Bill for a long time, wanted me to come to this church. And I thought, Esther Church? You know, I'm from Flat River. Esther Church? You know, those old rivalries, boy, if you grew up in the Lead Belt, you understand. And then Angie Hegarty invited me. Now, I could put up with Bill, but when one of my former students, Angie, invited me, I just had to come. Betty and I have grown to love this church, seriously love this church. If you were here this past weekend, you would understand why. We had the wild game dinner Saturday night, and I got to introduce the speaker, and boy, everything was going so well, and I shook his hand and took two steps and tripped over the power to the computer, and everything went dark on the computer, and the speaker had to spend the next 10 minutes just ad-libbing until Nate came to the rescue and got the computer back up. Last Sunday morning service was a great service, our pastor's last service, and boy, were we glad to get rid of him. And the only problem with it was he's taking his wife with him. We thought he would leave and she'd stay here, but it didn't work out that way. And then Sunday afternoon, we had an opportunity to really say farewell to our pastor. And it was really a good service, and a lot of good things happened. If you were here, you would know why this church is such a good church. There's love and all that type of thing that you hear about, but it really is here. But you know the thing that impressed me most last Sunday, and I'll never forget this. These young adult parents coming down here with their children and praying. Ever see a grown man cry? Now that brought tears to my eyes. You know, I'd been in church for 70 years, and I hate to say I'm 78, but I'm proud of it because I'm still here. But I had never seen that to that extent in a church. That really told me something. First of all, about this church and the environment that's here, thanks to our pastor and good parents who really care. Boy, that just melted my heart. And I'm going to go on or I'll start crying. Okay. When Betty and I visit Tennessee, which we often do, as a matter of fact, we're going to be down there next weekend, we attend the Fairview Baptist Church in Sweetwater, Tennessee. And they have a great choir. They have over 100 in their choir on special occasions. And they're not a whole lot larger than us. They are some. One of their soloists, his name is Tammy. Now, we have a Tammy, but they have a Tammy who sings. And she is an anointed singer. Yeah, the one with the red face is our Tammy down there. Now, I'm going to mention her again in a minute. So when the Tammy down there sings, she's got a lot of favorite songs, but the favorite song of mine is entitled This Blood. It comes from their pageant. And the story is that there were many people gathered around the cross, not the cross, the tomb of Jesus, and they were arguing amongst themselves, what happened to the body of Jesus? And they all went through this, and they were saying their various things, and Tammy in song tells it the way it is. He's alive. He's alive. And she just let them all know that he really is and was alive. When she finishes that song, and you'll see this in a minute up here, we're going to play just a little bit from that. Sweet Tammy, whom I love, and in the right way, Betty. as they say in the South, she is sweet as pie. And when she sings, she doesn't sing from up here. She sings from her heart. And when she finishes that song, and look for this, if we can get it up there. When she finishes, she puts that sweet little hand up in the air and says, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And you know, it really is all about Jesus. We ready to go, Nate? Take my word for it. At the end of that, she did raise her hand and say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And with her, and I hope with everyone here, it's all about Jesus. And that's sort of the topic of what I want to talk about today. For the next few minutes, I have three topics. Two I want to talk about briefly, and the third a little more in depth. First, I want to talk about the Levitical or Mosaic law given by God to his followers in order to fully understand the new covenant. We must first know a little bit about its predecessor, the old covenant. Second, we'll talk a little bit about the new covenant initiated by God to replace the original covenant with the coming of the Messiah. And we'll see why God felt a need to have a new covenant. Third, and most importantly, we'll talk about our individual and the church family's responsibility under this new covenant. We can't think about Jesus and his death on the cross without concluding that this was one of, if not the greatest and most important events of all time. But why was it necessary for Jesus to die on the cross the way he did, and a horrible death, and the cross still stands as a symbol of death, and death in its most horrible manner? For 4,000 years, God's people lived and followed the teachings of Levitical law as found in the Old Testament and given them by God. But the shedding of blood, as required by the law set down by God over the years, had become polluted and abused by the people. Can you imagine that? People not following the law and changing it around and twisting it. So God, as he had always planned to do, made good on his promise and entered into a new covenant with his people. The old system of blood sacrifice for the perpetuation of sin just did not allow for the type of relationship God desired with his people. Now, we need to understand that God was neither surprised nor was he dismayed by this. So, in his infinite wisdom, and as he had planned to do all along, he eliminated the need for his people to have blood sacrifices, and in their place made the perfect one-time sacrifice through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now everyone could go directly to God as often as needed with no need for a blood sacrifice. Now I don't know about you, but I'm glad God decided to do it that way. As we know, many rejected the Messiah, the Jews, because they wanted a warrior king to lead them into battle and to conquer other people. And also, some didn't like it because of the changes mandated by the new covenant. Can you imagine people in churches and certain religions not wanting to change things? Well, you know, that hasn't changed a whole lot over the years. And some hated him for purely political and selfish reasons. Some questioned, and this was a good question, why would the promised Messiah and King allow himself to be put to death in such a heinous manner? And some thought he was just a real troublemaker and a threat to their authority. In Corinthians 1:18, Paul sums it up really well when he writes, "For the preaching of the cross to them who perish is foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power unto God." Most in those days did not understand the true meaning of the cross, even though they had seen Jesus in person. They had watched as he performed miracles, and many even heard him speak and preach. Even the Apostle Paul, who we think just did everything real smoothly and without a problem, even the Apostle Paul did not comprehend the real meaning of the cross at first. But later, he most certainly did. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, and I think this, I wish I could write like this. This is so beautiful and so meaningful. And I wish everybody in here could take this to heart the way Paul felt once he understood that it was all about Jesus. He wrote, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." Boy, I think that's pretty. Paul also acknowledged in Romans 6:6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we no longer be slaves to sin." Paul figured it out. Once he understood and realized the true meaning of the cross and that it was all about Jesus, well, we all know the lasting impact he had on the world then and even today. Only a few truly understood the significance of the cross, but, and this is important to get, but from that few, the most important movement in the history of mankind came about. The spread of Christianity and the Christian church. Right here where we are today. It all started with that small group who figured it out, that it was all about Jesus. No longer was the focus on those who sacrificed annually, but from the time of the new covenant, the focus was on Jesus and what he gave us, the perfect one-time sacrifice made possible by his death. Now listen to this. He took the punishment afforded him on that terrible cross and turned it into a symbol of love and faith, something that only he could have done. So you see, it really was all about Jesus. The old covenant served its intended purpose in a lot of ways, but God desired a closer relationship with his people, which under the old system he could not have due to unforgiven sin in the lives of his people and their inability or refusal, probably more refusal, to follow the law. He, as God, could not and would not compromise his standards regarding sin, nor could God tolerate the sin caused by his followers' inability to follow the laws. So he sent his son as the perfect sacrifice so that sin would no longer be covered by the blood of an animal, but rather it could be forgiven and forgotten by the one-time sacrifice made by the perfect Lamb, his son, Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, many people thought of God as being harsh and too judgmental, and some even thought he was like a tyrant, just sitting up there being a tyrant. But under the new covenant, Jesus had come and brought the possibility of a new relationship with God's people based on love, warmth, and a surefire plan of salvation for all. While the old covenant had a narrow focus and was for the Jewish people, the new covenant was intended for everyone, all believers, and all of the followers of Jesus. The question before us today, for those who are believers, is it really all about Jesus in our church and in our personal lives? What are the practical implications and applications, and what is expected of us today as a church and as individuals under the new covenant and the fulfillment of God's plan for salvation? Well, I'm glad you asked. I wanted to mention a few things. First, and this is so familiar and we just hear it and take it for granted and just goes in and out, but take this very seriously this time. You've heard it a million times, but really take it to heart. If it's really all about Jesus, we must all who are believers take up our cross and follow him. Matthew 16:24, and this is familiar to all of us. Then Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And he meant that just the way he wrote it. We are supposed to deny ourselves and take up our cross if we really want to be a disciple. He made the supreme sacrifice. Now it's our responsibility to make a daily sacrifice for Him with our time, our talents, our monetary resources, and whatever other gifts we have. After all, it is all from Him and belongs to Him anyhow. Our deacons and staff are a special group, and we're also blessed with a core of really good lay leaders and wonderful members of this church family. That's wonderful and that's great. But it's not enough if we are going to make this church completely all about Jesus. Every one of us must do his or her part for this church and his kingdom's work if we are to fulfill God's plan for this church. If it's really about Jesus as a church and as individuals, we must have vision. Scripture says that a people without vision will perish. We see that in our society today as hundreds of churches a month all over this country are closing their doors. As individuals and as church family, we must seek His plan for our church. And when we find it, we must follow that plan. He has a plan, but we must discern it, knowing that He will furnish the resources to allow that plan to be fully implemented. That's a promise from our God. If it's really about Jesus, every activity and every program in this church should have as its end goal the winning of souls for God's kingdom. That's why I love the concept behind Vacation Bible School under our Tammy's leadership. That's where Tammy came in. Bible school is a wonderful example of soul winning. That's the way it was at Linwood Church in Cape, where we attended before we came here. And it was obvious that it paid great dividends for God's kingdom. A friend once told me this, and he's no longer with us. He told me that a certain individual in his church was sort of the designated soul winner. And he was a soul winner. And of course, there were others in that church. Now please listen to this. In this church, we are all called to be soul winners. Not just the staff, not one or a few individuals, but every church member and believer. And that will become an actuality if we truly believe in our heart that it's all about Jesus. If it's really all about Jesus, God's plan is for everyone. There's that everyone again. Every one of His people to tithe. Now you can argue, and there's probably more arguments about this than most anything, and that's okay. But this is God's plan to support His church and its work. Now that's between you and God, but He really wants to bless you for your willingness to follow His admonition to tithe. If you don't give it a try, it works just like He promised it would. Perhaps the most important, and I really like to talk about this. I get excited when I think a bit about this. Perhaps the most important implication to us because of the cross is the best is yet to come. And as believers, we have a loving, warm, and caring Savior with whom we can communicate every day or every hour of the day if we choose. And it gets even better because when the specter of death comes, we will get to spend eternity with Him and all of those believers who've gone before. Now, I wish Brother Tom were here because he'd shout right now. The very thought of that promise should make us everyone want to shout. Just think about that, folks. The best is yet to come. If it's truly all about Him, why do we limit ourselves and our church? We have about 140 to 160 or so in Sunday school, but why not 300? We have approximately 400 in worship service in our two services, but why not 600 or 800? We have a loyal choir with 15 or 18 members when we have many individuals gifted by God with wonderful voices, and we could well have 50 or 60 in our choir. Why 20 or maybe 30, I'm not sure of the number, professions of faith a year? You know, that's wonderful, whatever the number is, it's wonderful. But why not 100 or even more? God would be so pleased. The answer to these questions is perhaps because we have not yet developed the wisdom, nor have we been willing to do whatever God leads us to do in order to reach these lofty heights, whatever He wants us to reach. Let's not, as a church, artificially set those numbers. Let's determine what God's vision is for this church, and rather than us, let Him decide what those numbers should be, based on His desire, not our limitations. Look, we all want and demand that our public schools be the best they can be, and we support them. We pass bond issues. I know Central has always been good about passing bond issues. And we do everything we can to help our schools to be the very best they can be. That's commendable, and as an educator, I appreciate that very much, and I always appreciate that. We expect our athletic teams to have the best coaches, the newest equipment, and we work hard and support them with great enthusiasm. And we help them in any way we can to make it happen. Why then, if indeed we don't, do we not have the same level of support and enthusiasm for God's church and His kingdom's work? I know many in this church do. But our church and our God needs everyone, there's that word again, everyone, to show as much zeal, enthusiasm, and commitment to His church and His kingdom's work as to these other very important programs, but which do not have the same eternal consequences. When I was principal at Central, I often thought and discussed this with people. There's no reason why a young man from Central couldn't be as good a football player as one from Valley of St. Genevieve. And they always seem to have great teams, and they still do. There was no explanation, except for some reason, we didn't think we could. That has changed at Central, and my belief was true. There was no logical reason. It just took the right coach, the right combination of players, and a vision that we could be as good as anyone and better than most. My point is this. We are capable of doing so much more and to be as good as any church, anywhere, if we are willing to believe in our minds and think that it can be the best, and of course rely on God's leadership to get us there. Our church is a good one with many loving and caring members, but we are only scratching the surface as to what we could be if we really bought into the concept and the truth and applied it on a daily basis. The belief is truly all about Jesus. The question is this. Is it really all about Jesus in your life, or is that just a cliche that you hear and you speak every once in a while? If not, this is a perfect time to let it be all about Him. We are in a transition period in this church, and this church needs every one of its family and anyone else who wants to be a part of a loving and caring church to roll up our collective sleeves and make a 100% commitment to follow God's leadership for our personal lives and the life of this church. If you are not a part of our church, come and you will be loved in this church, and it will be possible for you to develop, if you don't already have it, the attitude and practice every day that it's all about Jesus. Is it all about Jesus is a serious question which we must all confront with total honesty from the heart. Let's be clear. I don't want to leave any doubt about this. This is not a bad church in any way. To the contrary, our deacons told us at the informational meeting a few weeks back, this church has never been in better shape in many ways. And that's a testament to our past pastor, the great job he did. And I've only been here for 3 years, but I think our deacons know what they're talking about. But even in the absence of a pastor, it is their and our intention to keep this church going in an upward direction. We're going to make it happen. It's just that we must not be satisfied with where we are now, but strive to be even better in God's sight. I wish I'd been smart enough to write this, but this is a quote. And I don't know, for some reason, it just grabbed me every time I read it, and it really means a lot to me. Concerning our commitment to God, and listen to this, please. After all, a total commitment is the least and the only response worthy of a Savior who gave his life for each of us so that we might have a personal, intimate, and eternal relationship with our God. Well, we owe him that. That's the least we can give him for what he's given us. There are a lot of youth in here. Youth, please continue to honor God with your enthusiasm, your energy, and your godly witness. We adults and other youth need to see it and feed off of it. We are truly blessed by Brian and the youth that he works with and what they bring to this church. Young adults, and we have a lot of young adults in here, refuse to allow the many responsibilities of this stage of your life, mainly your family responsibilities and vocational responsibilities, to crowd out your commitment to follow Jesus and vow to keep him first in your life. God and this church need you and your strong and willing leadership in all areas of this church. My favorite group, because I'm one of them. Senior adults, and we've got a bunch of wonderful senior adults in this church. Don't stop working for Jesus and use that experience and wisdom gained through the many years you have served to mentor others, to be a godly role model, and to glorify him until he calls you home. John Stott said this, and this is meaningful to me. Before we can begin to see the cross as something that Jesus did for us, we must first see it as something caused by us. We must understand that it was our sin which caused him to suffer and die on the cross. Only when we comprehend that truth will we fully understand what he did for us and why he did it. As a church, we are going to move forward and upward to be all that God wants us to be. If you have not already made a commitment or wish to join us as we seek and follow His will for our church, please consider doing that now. I promise you, and I really promise you, because it happened to us and it'll happen to you, I promise you that our deacons in this family, church family, will love you and welcome you with open arms. After all, a total commitment is the least and the only response worthy of a Savior who gave His life for each of us so that we might have a personal, intimate, and eternal relationship with our God. As Betty comes to sing, Betty, please come to sing. I think she's still mad about that statement I made a while ago. This will be one of my very favorite songs. And if you would stand, please, this will be our invitation. I simply ask that you reflect on your personal situation, and please do this from the heart with regard to your relationship with God, and ask yourself with all honesty, is this church, is your life, is your daily walk all about Jesus? This will serve as our invitation, and I ask you just to do what God leads you to do, or just sit back and enjoy this message and song. Whether you feel it or not, it really is all about Jesus. Now, you know, teachers have pets. And before we get into them, teachers have pets, and principals do too. And I had a lot of students who go to this church, and two of them were really my pets. I just called them to the office all the time just to talk to them, and I just thought so much. Now, 51 years ago, Betty and I stood right there and made a vow to God. 51 years later, God has honored our marriage, and we're still together. I'm going to go right down there and kneel, and I'm going to tell God that I'm going to make a 100% commitment to this church and to doing what He wants me to do as long as I'm able to do it. Now, my two pets were Brian and David. And as I go down here, I'd like for David and Brian to come down here and kneel with me and join me in prayer. Now, if you're too embarrassed, that's okay. I can't tell you how proud I am of these two guys. God is good. He saves. He's still in the business of saving people and making their lives whole. If you ever doubt that, first look at me and look at these guys. Two of my all-time favorite pets. So as Betty sings, join with her and do what you feel you should do.